Good morning. When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts. Let's open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can apply it. And that's a good time to turn your cell phones off too. Or on vibrate. It's 8-7-2022. I'm Paul Baalbeck III, for anybody out there who don't know me. We're at the Faith Bible Church at the adult Sunday school class, and I'm teaching through the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, and we're going to be doing verses 1 through 3. So let's open up in prayer. Sorry I'm getting started a couple minutes late. It was pouring down rain. So praise God we got here safe, and so we'll get right on with it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for another day of grace. Thank you for traveling mercy for all of us that we got here, and we pray for that on the way home. We thank you for your Son and His finished work, His all-sufficient and finished work, that our sins are dealt with past, present, and future because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And we're declared righteous. And we know that because He rose from the grave. And you give us spiritual, eternal resurrection life in Him. So as we look into your Word, Father, it's all about Christ. And this is where we get to know your mind, your will, your heart, your wisdom. So I pray your Holy Spirit today will illumine every mind to grasp the truth from your Word, that we might grow in your grace and apply it in the details of our lives. And we just ask this in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So, again, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Well, let's read Ephesians 3, 1 to 5. But I'm just going to be teaching 1 to 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge into the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now that last verse we went over already. Them were New Testament prophets and apostles. It wasn't the 12. This was after Christ's resurrection, ascension, glorification at the right hand of the Father. And he gave gifts to the church, and these were gifted men. And so we won't go over all that. But what I want to say about chapter 3, I've been kind of dying to get here. I love chapter 3 because there's so much spiritual treasures, and actually the whole book of Ephesians, right? But, you know, the covenant or reform theologians and the Acts chapter 2 theologians, that's who believe that the church started on Pentecost, they don't understand the teaching of Ephesians chapter 3. Yet they try and make it fit into their man-made teaching, but they don't obey 2 Timothy 2:15. And that's a command. It's in the command mode. Study, right? Are you ready to study?
Yeah.
Wow, so enthusiastic. Don't make me holler at Myrtle to put some more caffeine in that coffee. Put a couple more scoops. So study to show yourself approved unto God. So there's a way that you study the Bible that has God's approval. So what's that tell you? If you don't study that way, you don't got God's approval. So you know how many pastors are preaching this morning and Bible teachers, and they ain't got God's approval? Because study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They're not rightly dividing the word. They're teaching traditions of men, and at worst, doctrines of demons. There's a lot of, you got them prosperity pimps, you know, working the money, spiritually pickpocketing people. Turn on, quote, Christian TV, unquote. So let's look at Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So what are you always supposed to ask when you're studying God's word? Who is speaking or writing, and who are they speaking or writing to? So we have our apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, apostle for the body of Christ. He's writing to who? Gentiles, the body of Christ. Okay. Now, what reason or cause is he referring to in 3:1? For this cause, I, Paul. I know it's early, but I want you thinking. I don't want you just out there. Huh?
What came before the comments?
Yeah. So what he already taught in chapters 1 and 2. Really, let's go to Ephesians 1:9. Paul writes, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What's the word mystery mean?
Secret.
Yeah, it was a sacred secret. It's not something just mysterious. You know, like
it's a mystery.
Yeah, it's the idea of something not revealed, and Paul talks about it was hidden God's hardened mind in eternity past, right? And never revealed till Christ from heaven, God and Christ chose the apostle Paul to be the steward, the dispenser of that whole body of truth. He calls a mystery, right? So. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The dispensation of grace was a mystery, a secret, a sacred secret that was hid in time past, but praise God, it ain't hid no more, right? We can read it about it in Paul's epistles, but how many in the church, it's still a secret, a mystery to them, it's a shame. Talk to your average Christian. Ask him, what's the mystery? Actually, I've got to say the name of my message today. Who's your apostle? Bam! Y'all knew it. I like that. There is another church I used to go to that a guy who would answer the phones when they would call questions about church. He, you know how he answered the phone? Hello, this is so-and-so. Who's your apostle? This guy was like real bold. And what do you think the average person would say? Peter. Let me pick and choose. 1 to 13, right? But we know it's our apostle Paul. And he said follow him as he followed Christ, right? And go to John 13:20 real quick. I'm going to keep your finger here. We're going to come right back here. I want to point out something. John 13:20. And this is transdispensational. Verily, verily, this is Christ speaking, I say unto you, let me say something too. What books in the Bible did Christ write?
He didn't write any.
You got it. He didn't write any. Everything, what we're reading about Christ was written by what? Yeah. the writers of Scripture, right? So when Paul says that Christ made him the steward of grace, he's telling you, where did he get this mystery from? And isn't all Scripture God breathed? It's inspired by God, His Holy Spirit, as men of God were moved by the Spirit, right? So when you're reading those words, and these words right here, this is God speaking. Okay? That's, but we got to always ask, who's speaking, who are they speaking to, right? Because there's a lot of things in the Bible that aren't about the body of Christ. 12/13 of the Bible is about the nation Israel, right? And their program. See why it's so important to rightly divide the word? Aren't you glad you go to assembly that understands right division?
Amen.
Yeah. And so Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth him that sent me. So if Christ sent somebody, and you're responding to that person and realizing Christ sent them, you're responding to God and Christ, right? So go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:9. And the Holy Spirit through Paul writes, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So now, through Paul, as we'll see in Ephesians chapter 3, Christ chose him to be the dispenser of his will, his commands. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, I give you the commands of Christ. So where are you going today for your commands from Christ? Yeah. And, you know, you get people who say, oh, Paul, he's just a man. And he is. I don't follow Paul. I follow Christ. Well, if Christ sent Paul, then follow Paul like God sent Moses, dispensed the law to the nation Israel, right, on Mount Sinai. Well, if you're going to be obedient to God back then, they would follow them instructions, right? And I'll tell you, for you who are familiar, when they challenged Moses, it wasn't a very good ending for some of them. Didn't the ground swallow some of them up? Whoa. Yeah. Well, God's not doing the signs and wonders today, and he's not, like under law, if you do these things, I'll bless you, physical blessings. If you don't, I'll curse you, physical cursing. So God's not dealing with us today. But he disapproves those who don't rightly divide the word and those who don't acknowledge Paul's unique apostleship because Christ sent him. And when you realize that and you follow Paul's instructions, you rightly divide the word, you study it all, but your mail is in Paul, your personal mail is in Paul's, then you're going to have God's approval. And a lot don't, right? So, go to Ephesians 1:22-23. And this is after Christ's death, burial, resurrection, right? Ascension. And seated at the right hand of God, an authority high above all principalities, powers, and lights, right? And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. He's the head. Who's the church today?
We are the church.
Faith Bible Church?
We are the body of Christ.
Thank you. The body of Christ. Many members, one head, right? One body. So, he says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. So, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, I believe, I'm quoting. I know I misquote sometimes, like I'll say 1 Corinthians, it might be in 2 sometimes, but overall I'm pretty good. But I catch a pastor doing that too. I just don't scream out. But if I do misquote a verse, like, let me know, because the other people then for their notes. And anyway, so go to chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. Because what did Paul say in 3:1 for this cause? So he already had written some things to him, right? So chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. Speaking of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one, that's Jew and Gentile, in one body, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was that middle wall of partition? I told you before, why do you study in school?
To learn.
Well, that's why you should. But don't you usually study pretty hard when you got to take a test?
Yes.
If you weren't tested, it'd be like you fall asleep in class, right? I told you a week or two ago, you might be tested. So what's the middle wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile in time past?
The law.
The law and what else? See, Bill, you shouldn't doze in church. You miss things. Circumcision. What separated Abraham and his offspring that came out of him from the Gentiles? Circumcision. God gave them circumcision. And out of Abraham comes Isaac, out of Isaac comes Jacob, and out of Jacob comes the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And so first it was circumcision, an outward sign of the faith that Abraham had inwardly. And then, I think it's 430 years later, I could be mistaken, the law came in and it really separated Jew and Gentile. Even in their temple, there was a separation. Gentiles back here. Gentiles to the rear, and sinners row where me and Mary like to sit. I never liked sitting up front. I don't know why. Probably from my Pentecostal days when that pastor would. Anyway. So you want to listen up because you might be tested again. 2:14 and 16. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In the body of Christ now, there's no difference of Jew and Gentile. Jews don't have this high status with God as his peculiar people at this time. We're his peculiar people today in the body of Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're black, white, yellow, brown, or in between. It's wonderful, the grace of God, isn't it?
Amen.
There's no difference. You know, grace brings people together. We have unity in diversity. Ain't that what the world's trying to find?
Yeah.
Unity in diversity? We got it.
Amen.
We got the answer to reconciliation. There's a lot of problems out there, ain't there?
Mm-hmm.
Separation. Whether it be in race sometime, but there is no race in grace. We're all one. We're brothers and sisters. Yeah. And even age. It doesn't matter if you're saved. We can relate to each other. I might have to break some down a little bit more, you know, if they're young or if they're old. Why'd you smile, Bill? He ain't much older than me. But anyway, we have the answers in the Word of God. Have confidence. You know, and take this Word of God, know this Word of God, rightly divide it in context, and then when you talk to people, we should be able to, now unsaved people, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. They're not going to understand the deep thing. When you try to explain to them the mystery, you know, their eyeballs will go like this. They'll be like, what are you talking about, a TV show? Late night mystery? No. But you can take the word of God. Didn't Paul in Athens, didn't he reason with them? You can take the word of God and let people see God's got the answers. And then you want to lead them to the Lord, so now they can discern God's word. And then build them up. What's God's will? That all be saved and then what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. Then you build them up in sound grace edification so they can truly understand God's word. So, verse 15 in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So through Paul we find out, you don't hear this from Peter, James, John, right? The law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 1:14, I think. And then in Ephesians, right here, it says, it was nailed to the cross. Since you'll not, Romans 6:14, since you'll not have dominion over you, why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. When legalists come to me with that drag, I tell them, take that drag down the street, your legalism. You know, like I do a lot on Facebook, sharing, and now TikTok. You get a lot of responses on there, some good, some bad. But when I'm posting something and you get a legalist come, and I don't want them to confuse the people you're trying to minister to, and they pop verses out of context, you know. Like when I'll share Romans 6:14, since you'll not have dominion, because you're not under the law, you're under grace, then they'll quote James, or they'll quote Christ. You know, something about the law. So I tell them, look it, this is my branch. Get off my perch, bird. Go back on your own, you know. Because you got to sometimes deal with people to protect. You know, elders are supposed to what? Protect the flock. Didn't Paul write that, if you read Acts? He warned them that after his departure, savage wolves are going to come up in their midst. These are people that are supposed to be believers. And they're going to devour them. Didn't Paul warn in Galatians, watch lest ye devour one another? How are they going to devour one another? Legalism. When you get legalistic, you start judging people. You know, if I get up and pray for an hour in the morning, then you got to pray for an hour in the morning. If I do 2 hours of Bible study, then you need to in order to be spiritual. If I carry a King James Bible, then you got it. Legalism. You're not as spiritual as me. Think about it. A lot of stuff, even in the grace circle sometimes, we're supposed to understand we're not under legalism. Now, there's a difference. It's not antinomianism. You know what that is? Big word, huh? It means no law. It's not that we're not under anything. We're just not under the law, the Mosaic law. We're under Paul's commands. And commands are meant to be obeyed and applied. Instructions are meant to be applied to our life, and Paul gives us plenty of them. I forget how many commands are in Paul's epistles. I got a good, I'm going to have to look. Maybe next time I teach, I'll tell you how many. Anyway, so let's go to Romans 11:13. And remember, What's the name of my message? You're being tested. Who's your, hey? Like that. Some people. Did Bill have that answer? Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Who's the apostle to the Gentiles? Who does Paul write to? The body of Christ, right? Who sent them? Christ and God, right? These are on it today. And so you see, he's our apostle. And remember when Paul talks personally, I say this a lot, but we'll get accused of worshiping Paul. And then I believe that's a Paulist, if I'm not mistaken. You don't want to be a Paulist where you worship Paul. You want to be Pauline. We worship Christ. The Paul's message is all about Christ. Romans 16:25. For he will establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. See, his whole message is centralized in Christ. But what? The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's how we preach Christ today, right? Praise God. You guys got a church that understands that.
Amen.
And has stood for it. And it's not like we're the only one. That's like, sounds like cultic, right? There's a lot of them out there, but they're usually small. Because you know why? People want milk and music. They want to be entertained. I'm not here to entertain nobody. I'm here to edify you. And hopefully have fun, you know, while we're learning. But this morning, you know, Charles Spurgeon said, and many, many years ago, he was called the Prince of Preachers. He led thousands and thousands of people to the Lord. He's from England, I believe. And he said, one day there'll be clowns in the pulpit. And you know what? Today, some of these mega churches, they just got all kinds of entertainment. Matter of fact, you go in them, sometime you'll think you're at a concert, a worldly concert. The people sometime come to church because they want to be entertained. They want to be told what they want to hear. You tell people what they want to hear, you know, we'd fill this building up and we would have to build a big building. But the Apostle Paul said what? I held nothing back from you. I gave you the whole counsel of God's word, right? That's what from preaching from the pulpit and Bible teaching is supposed to do. Build you up, and so you're prepared during the week when you face the things of life. You can dig in from, because you've already been studying during the week, I hope. And so you're filling your mind and your spirit and soul with that sound edifice of doctrine. And then, I like how the pastor put it, when you come in here to preaching and the teaching at church, it stirs that doctrine up and it brings it to animation in your life. Because good sound teaching and preaching challenges you to application. And see the one finger there? Three back at me? I like to, after I teach, to hear Pastor Ricky, because now he's ministering my heart. And then use in different ways minister to my heart, because everybody's got an inward spiritual gift, at least one, and the Holy Spirit's in you. And when I get together with the body, it's encouraging, man. Because when you get out there, if you're working or whatever around unsaved people, you're getting made fun of. And I let me change that. Not only unsaved people, Christians that follow their denominations, that don't understand and rightly divide the word, and they will attack you more than unsaved people. But ain't it always been like that? Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees were the strictest Jewish sect, religious sect. And then you had the Sadducees. The Pharisees were like the conservatives. They believed in the resurrection. I believe the Sadducees, they didn't believe in no miraculous things, no resurrection. But boy, they got together when it came to persecuting Christ, didn't they? What about Paul? The Jews had a contract on him. They said they won't eat till they take him out. See him with the cloak, you know, dagger or something, you know. So it ain't no different today. But you know what? So what, right? There was a saying when I used to be in California. I stayed with my brother when he was in the Marines. Shine it. I love that saying. I still say it. Like something, you know, that somebody bothers you or whatever you're going through, something, shine it. Apply it, Philippians 4:4-8, right? Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of cares. You know, there's a difference. I just heard this, dude. And fear is different than anxiety. I kind of thought they were pretty close to the same. Fear is rational. It's based, if I stick my hand in that lion's cage, I'm afraid to do that, right? It's rational. Fear is good in that it keeps you from making dangerous mistakes, right? But anxiety is imagination. Doesn't Paul tell us take every thought captive? Casting down imaginations. See, it's not based on reality. It's usually thinking about the future. What if? Yeah. Just like anger. Do you think it's wrong to be angry?
It depends.
Exactly. God got angry, didn't he? Does God sin? No. See, you know where I'm getting most of this from? Paul's epistles. That's where you find wisdom. And the whole, all scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable, but you're going to get the most profit when what? The way God designed it, when you rightly divide it, right? So, Paul says, be angry. Some churches, they say, it's wrong to be angry at somebody. You know? Somebody did something to you. Oh, that's okay. I'm spiritual. But they're like this smiling, but inside that smile is turned upside down and you want to get them back. But when we find out from Paul, forgive as you've been forgiven. So Paul says, be angry. So all anger isn't bad. Now some is. When you get angry and you want to get somebody back, see, it becomes malice. Bitterness, the root. And it becomes malice. See why Paul says, forgive as you've been forgiven? And then he says what? Be angry, but sin not. I'm going to get angry if somebody does something wrong to me. But I want to forgive them. I ain't going to trust them till they earn that. That's different. But I want to choose. I don't want to stop up that flow of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. So I learned a long time ago, because when I understood the finale of the cross, it taught me to forgive other people. So Paul says, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. See, deal with it right away. Because if you go to sleep thinking about something, for you married people, your husband or wife aggravated you. So you're going to bed. Be angry. God said I can be angry. Forgot the rest of the verse. Right? And what do you wake up thinking about? The same thing. Now you notice this. And you notice that. and it builds up. You see why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says forgive. Love them. God loves you unconditionally. Right? Love them. Pour some hot coals on their head. And Paul said, you know, you forgive, and it's like pouring hot coals because it burns in their mind. Look how, say your enemy, look how they love me. I've been so mean to them. Oh. You know, it's burning. Love them. So, back to here. Go to Romans 16:25. Anybody there? Now, in case anybody's falling asleep, now to him that is of power. I think that word is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. God, he's powerful, right? He's omnipotent. He's infinitely powerful. Now to him that is of power to establish you. What's that word establish mean? I'm going to test you again.
Strengthen.
Strengthen, okay.
Positional.
Balance. Well, establish or establish. In my New King James, I said establish. Means to give you a firm, unmovable, strong, powerful spiritual walk. So what does that? Now that, how does God do that in our lives? Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel. It's Paul's gospel. Christ gave Paul the gospel, right? That saves today. And then God desires all to be saved and then what? Come to the knowledge of the truth, right? So he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the, my Bible's pages sticking in, according to the revelation of the mystery. You want to establish life? Understand what the revelation and mystery is that Christ gave Paul. That whole body of truth to the body of Christ. Which was kept secret since the world began. God can keep a secret, can he? Remember in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, just go there real quick. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or the idea there is mature. Now, he told the Corinthians they were still babes, little babies. Doesn't matter how old you are and how long you've been saved, you can still be a baby in the Lord. If you're not getting into this word and not applying it. And but now when he wrote to the Ephesians, he could write to them about the mystery, right? Ain't we studying that, Ephesians 3?
Yeah.
But he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. See, it was hidden in time past, since the beginning of the world, till Christ dispenses it through Paul, right? Which God ordained before the world for our glory. Now listen to this. I love this. Every time I look at this, and then I think what Paul said in Romans at the end of 11, how wise God is. Which none of the princes, so I believe he's talking about the dominions, Satan and his dominions, principalities and powers, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So Satan wouldn't have crucified Christ if he knew what God had planned to form the body of Christ, to fill the heavens, to serve God in places of authority, ruling over angels, praise God, and even ruling the world. Paul says in another place, if Satan wouldn't have known, Satan hates the mystery. We remind him he can't hang with God. I'll be like the Most High. God said, you know what? All I got to do is keep a little secret from you. Puny. See, Satan can't hang with God. And we don't have to be afraid to be sharing these. Yeah, you'll get a target on your back if you're sharing the mystery and the depths of God's grace and you don't water down undiluted grace. But even John said, he who knew is stronger than he was in the world. You can do all things through Christ. We don't have to fear Satan, what he can do. Because God, no matter what he throws our way, God said he'll work it all for our good. He'll work it together for our good. And what's for our good? That God predestined us to be conformed into the image of Christ. Everything Satan throws at us, God works it for good and we grow more like Christ. Can you say praise God? Hallelujah? Come on. Give me a little hallelujah, man. Ooh, I think about that and I think how wise God was. And so, let's go to Ephesians. I'm going to take a couple minutes more, not long, just to go to Ephesians 3, 8, and 9, because we started a little bit late, but I'm not even going to take 5 minutes. Blame it on Boyd, because he told me, take about 5 minutes, since we started a couple minutes late. Ephesians 3, 8, 9. Unto me. Remember, well here, unto me who am less than least all the saints. Paul's humble, isn't he? He's not puffed up about his unique apostleship. But when it came to his ministry, what did he say? I magnify my ministry. Why? Because Christ gave it to him. Unto me who am the less than the least of all the saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's in Paul's epistles you find the riches of Christ, your spiritual blessings. And read in Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. There's so many. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in heavenly places, right? And what was Paul's goal? And this should be ours, and I'll probably end right here. And to make all see, all men, see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We share this. And also that can be translated from the Greek, the dispensation of the mystery. We should make all see it. This should be our goal. Paul's a pattern for what? Salvation? He said he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe after, and ministry. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Listen to this, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We should make an impact in the angelic realm. The angels learn, the good angels, elect angels, they learn from us. Because they didn't sin, so they don't, it's harder for them to understand God's grace. But when they see God, use us. We keep messing up in different ways and God still loves them unconditionally. We learn. And then also, we remind Satan and his dominions they got a short time. And we got a short time here, right? Life's like a vapor, James tells us. Transdispensational. That's why Paul says redeem the time. Right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Father. thank you that it works in us, it spiritually energizes us, it motivates us, it transforms our minds, it transforms our life, it renews our minds, and then we're transformed as we're applying it. Thank you for it, Father. I pray if there's one that's never trusted in Christ, Father, here, or listening to video or the CD, audio, and they would recognize that they're a sinner before a holy God. And it doesn't matter if they've been religious and church like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because those in the flesh cannot please you. And I pray that they'll come as a sinner to the cross and realize that Christ died for their sins personally. And he was buried and he rose again. And that you would declare them righteous once and for all. And then you would give them justification unto life, eternal life. And I pray that we'll apply these truths that we're learning. And I pray for the pastor as he teaches and preaches in a little bit. I pray that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think and what he could ask or think. And do the same in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So.